I want anything that's height or spin related, or at least as much as possible, to be generated through head style more than shaft. For me, it's hard to pick a second set. Therefore, like, the set that I feel is the best fit set for me, something that I find the most confidence with, is the one that's already in my bag. Graphite has come, I don't know, a huge way. It's not necessarily just old man graphite at this point.
There is a podcast brewing that's about to take over podcasting for good. The only podcast that you are going to need to tune into day in, day out, is the Member Guest Podcast.
If I can hit it down the middle of the fairway, that's great. But again, with the driver right now, the driver sucks.
And now, the Member Guest Podcast!
John Daly, and you're listening to the Member Guest Podcast. Rip it, rip it.
All right, Cam. Welcome to the studio. It's your first time here, right?
Yeah, thanks for having me. Pretty sweet setup here, so...
Yeah, this is the studio. This is where I bang balls before I come get fit with you at Second Swing. This is, I guess, where you say the magic happens.
There you go.
Or lack thereof.
Yeah.
A second official episode sponsored by our friends at Second Swing. What's your guys' tagline? Is there a tagline?
It's not you, it's your clubs.
That's right.
Yep.
Which is my favorite motto in all of golf.
Certain cases true, sometimes not, but
yeah.
Well, sometimes it's play.
I got to ask how the roads were on your way here. Did you deal with any of the ice or no?
No, actually.
Do you even know what happened?
No one said anything.
Okay, so today I went to the office maybe at like 10 o'clock, and I had just gone to the gym at like 8 o'clock. Roads were completely fine. And at 10 o'clock, it started to rain outside.
Yep.
And then it literally froze, and all of the roads were black ice.
Yep.
I saw, this is not an exaggeration, 5 or 6 cars off the side of the road on my way to work at 10 o'clock and a semi-truck that was like
jackknifed
on the side.
Yep.
And then on my way home, they were completely fine. I saw like this sun kind of came out, and now I'm worried that like the ice kind of melted and then tonight it's going to freeze over again. So I'll try and make sure I get you out of here before it gets like too dark.
Right on.
Because you're gonna have a little hike home, right? Where is it?
It's Andover, so it'll probably be 45 minutes from here.
Yeah, and hopefully it's not... an hour. So
yep.
Thank you for coming in. My fitter at Second Swing, Cam Fitzer, introduce yourself. Fitzer, right?
Yep.
Introduce yourself to the audience, and you can tell them how many times we've done fittings at Second Swing.
Oh yeah. Well, again, my name's Cam Fitzer. I'm a fitting manager over at Second Swing Golf Minnetonka. Been with the company coming on 6 years now, which is crazy to say. What started off as just a part-time gig throughout college is now the full-time thing for me. And I know through conversations I've had with others, I don't really see a future of leaving or doing anything different, at least for the time being. So Second Swing's been great. Been blessed to be maybe a fitter for a couple guys, including Jordan himself too. So it's nice to have a stable of players that always come in and come see me. So that's been really fun.
Is that a thing? Having just like a book of regulars, if you will, for a lot of you fitters?
It's so funny. I think it's one of the best things, but so much of my fittings at this point are repeat customers or referral stuff. It's really fun to see.
Yeah.
At the same point, I'd never get mad if, like, the other day you were in with Harrison. I'm never going to get mad at that because at least you're getting help, getting a second set of eyes on something.
When you got to, like, figure something out, like, I'm going to San Diego and, like, I look at the calendar and just, like, all the people I see, like, I always look for you first.
Yep.
And, like, if you're not available, I'll look for Larry or Roth or whoever. And, like, some days, like, you just can't find you for weeks at a time. Or some days you can just, like, find you that day because somebody canceled.
Yep.
Like, if I can't find you for weeks, I'm like, I don't know what I'm going to do. Like, I got to go in and I'm going to see my boy, but, like, I got to, you know, see somebody else for today. So
it's
the way it happens when you're somebody that comes in, like, as frequently as I do.
Yep.
But I can't be the – there's got to be people that come in more than me, right?
You know Billy, right? Billy Sumata.
Yeah, he kind of works there sometimes. Yeah,
he's always in here or always in the store.
Like what? Like twice a week?
I'd say from a fitting standpoint, I'll probably help him out once every other week, but he's in the store every single day.
That's
regardless
crazy.
Of working or
he
not.
Just loves,
he loves it.
Loves the game.
Yeah. He loves it.
Is it like the numbers and like seeing what different stuff does?
I think it's that, for him, it's something to do. He has 100 people to talk to at the store. It's different conversations and stuff like that. So I don't even know if it's just golf, but for him, it's ability to kind of chat with all different folks we have at the store too. So. Yeah.
Just loves the game.
It's awesome.
Yeah. Can't really fault him for that. No. Did you play in high school too? Because we played at Winsong. Was that last year? I try and bring you out at least once a year.
Yep.
You played in high school, right?
I did. Yeah. I played 4 years of high school golf at Andover. Didn't really have huge interest in college golf or anything like that, nor huge ability to do so. But No, I've always been around the game, so.
It's difficult nowadays, too. I was talking with some guys, McCain and Will, who are both, like, coaches now. Mm-hmm. And the level of high school golf now compared to, like, even, like, when I was in high school. Like, when I was in high school, it wasn't that cool of a sport. And now, like, everybody's plus three, plus four. Like, if you want to be on, like, if you want to be on, like, the varsity squad, like, you better be shooting. You better be like a scratch golfer. Like, you don't have to break par
especially
every time, but
area,
like, yeah, you got to be like a scratch golfer. It's like completely different than it was 5-10 years ago.
Yeah, it's honestly crazy to see. One cool thing we've kind of had the opportunity to do recently, the USGA is rolling out this national development program for all kinds of juniors and high school players. So a lot of states are jumping on board, but first year that Minnesota has a Team Minnesota. And so it's all these elite high school players, they kind of garnered points just as like a FedEx Cup system throughout the portion of the year, kind of playing in tournaments and stuff like that. And based on results, they've been kind of put on this team to go around and kind of play different events and more so just track their progress as they kind of grow through the game. But we're in a spot where we're kind of the equipment sponsor for them. So doing fittings for those kids is just unbelievable to see how far game has come, even from, I know, 8 years ago when I was in high school and stuff like that. So
that is cool. Cause I mean, especially for high schoolers too, like they all have mixed bags. I don't know if, Do collegiate kids all have mixed bags too, right? They're not normally sponsored equipment-wise yet, correct?
They'll have certain partnerships with different manufacturers, but typically they just get discounts on anything that they do want overall. So.
Yeah, and then like once you're pro, that's usually when you get equipment. Because I've said it once, I've said it a million times, like I don't know how long it'll be before Second Swing sponsors like a top 100 golfer, but like I have always said I would love to see what would happen if pros truly had like a mixed bag that was optimized for them. I refuse to believe that like having Ping or Titleist or whoever all the way through the TaylorMade all the way through the bag is like what is best for a player. Like I
don't know.
I can't believe it.
We see it day in, day out as well, but there's definitely players that come in and just want a consistent manufacturer throughout the set. But from that same perspective, it's hard for me to say that one specific manufacturer is going to have the best 14 clubs for that particular player.
Yeah, I mean, it's look, it's feel, it's a little bit of like the, I've actually noticed recently, like the weighting of clubs is a little bit different too. Like they're not all the same like weight the way that they do it, like lofts, lies, you name it. And like, I obviously understand like the pros get whatever they want. You know, you'll see a guy sponsored by, like Jake Knapp sponsored by PXG and like his putter literally looks like a TaylorMade spider and it just says like PXG on it. It's like, I understand that, but still it's not the same. And clearly like he loves the TaylorMade spider. So why not just play the TaylorMade spider? Yeah. It's all just money and branding. But like if you're PXG, like you can't even buy that thing. So why, you're just hoping for the winning putt and you know, your logo's up there, I guess.
It is huge. Quite honestly. I mean, for us, so much of what we get asked for is just tour adoption, success that comes from the tour as well. If you see someone win with it one weekend, you better believe that someone on Monday, Tuesday is going to come in and ask for that same thing.
Is that what happens?
100%. Whether it's the right fit or not, they think because X player played it that I've got to have one in my bag. So.
I think I'm going to know the answer to this, but over the past year, let's say two or three, what are like the two or three hottest items that like people started coming in just because of that?
Yeah. I mean, we could just even look at categories, but two big categories. Zero Torque stuff was super popular. Likes of JJ Spahn kind of winning a major and stuff like that with a lab putter was super big. So those have definitely garnered some attention. And quite honestly, I don't know, especially based on success early this year, so many guys coming in looking at like spider putters too, just in the sense that everyone's playing a spider.
I think I saw five of the six tournament winners because Goddard's won twice, Scotty Scheffler once, Morikawa, Bridgman, and the only one that won without spider, gosh, now I can't remember who it was, but those are the five guys that won, and they all had a spider in the bag, which is a little bit mind-blowing, but like I don't know if it's just because like TaylorMade's also kind of taking over a little bit on tour with a lot of the top players. They've got Rory and Scotty, and I think Goddard's mostly, oh no, he's Ping.
He's kind of a mixed bag too. Doesn't he have like Bridgestone irons too? Yeah.
I think that's true because he plays a Bridgestone ball, Bridgestone iron, but I know he plays Ping driver, and then he has like a TaylorMade mini driver. Oh, that's sick. I loved Chris Goddard, and now I think he's actually my favorite golfer on tour. Like, actually, I got to watch him at the Waste, and we bet on him to win and the whole thing, but like watching him hit a golf ball in person is, it's like watching Rory, and he sets up 30 degrees.
About that,
open.
Sets up way open and draws it. It's unbelievable.
Dude, he is wild. All right, so speaking of irons, wanted to talk specifically on on this episode, because it's end of February, this is going to come out this week. You guys are going to start picking up at Second Swing, and I would probably assume that irons and drivers are probably the two most popular like fittings for people when they come in.
Yep. Right? No question.
I talked with Mark earlier this year. I want to talk with you specifically about irons because I've always had this kind of idea around irons that like a lot of them kind of, you know, they look the same. Like just call like a spade a spade. Like a lot of irons, like it looks like an iron. Sometimes you go and you look at the drivers and like if you look at the TaylorMade driver compared to like, I don't know, Ping, like those two don't even look the same.
Yep.
But I think if you were to look at like, you know, some Ping irons and TaylorMade irons, like, yeah, it's iron is an iron. For you guys, what are you seeing so far this year in terms of like some of the better irons or what people are getting fit into? And then also let's talk about kind of the cycle of irons, because I don't think they're as frequent
yep.
as drivers, mm-hmm. right? And so like as somebody that's, you know, looking to get fit into new irons, maybe trying to make a change or, you know, whatever, needs a new like look and feel, what are the most popular things in the fitting bays right now?
I'd say just, again, one trend is, this is definitely the year of the combo set is kind of how I'd say it. So,
okay.
I know, same thing comes from tour adoption too, but especially a better player, I think we're going to see a lot of players playing mixed sets, not necessarily just one model kind of throughout the set as a mainstay, but I know many players kind of benefiting from just a little bit more forgiveness or help within some of those long iron options too. We definitely see a lot of just the average Joe as well that maybe needs a little bit more help and is likely going to stay within a game improvement category. But I think anyone that's kind of, 10 to 12 handicap or better, there's likely some thoughts that we'd have about the idea of a combo set there as well. So,
and so to get like super simplistic with it, I think a lot of people for whatever reason understand like the Titleist T100, 150, 200, right? Yep. What's normally the iron that you see, call it 10 to 12 handicap go into? And I know like my buddy Ben Siegel who plays professionally, I think he's got his, for sure his 4 iron and maybe his 5 iron are T150s and he plays T100s.
Yep.
Where are you seeing people like combo? Is it 4, 5, 6 and then 7, 8, 9 are the rest? Or like, where does that kind of transition happen?
Yeah. So I think it's very much player to player. And I think there's a couple ways that we can kind of get to a final answer there. I always gauge just confidence from a player and kind of ask them where they maybe feel like they aren't quite as consistent from an iron standpoint, as that could kind of give us an idea of where we want to make a break. Kind of pulling some takeaways from Titleist as well. Having been fit out there, they kind of look at it in a cool manner as well, where they want to see just a 5 mile an hour progression in terms of ball speed from iron to iron. And therefore, like, if you go from a T100 six iron to a T100 five iron and you don't have that 5 mile an hour ball speed, likely have to look at something like a T150 or T200 that carries a little bit more tech and kind of see how it influences that speed number. Then we can actually see a distance progression. Then the other conversation is just height too. And so, I mean, if there's a scenario where we get into, let's say, 6 iron and peak height really starts to diminish in comparison to a 7 iron, likely a spot where a slightly more forgiving long iron or even a hybrid option is kind of nice to take over and fulfill that same flight window that we're hoping for.
Why do they look at, I mean, obviously there's a direct correlation between ball speed and distance and all those things, but why are they looking at ball speed and not like the actual just like yardage, you know?
Like you said, I think it definitely correlates to that. So that's part of it. But I think similar, it plays into height too. Sometimes you can, I don't know, see a little bit more out of it in terms of distance, but maybe it's not necessarily a product of speed. Maybe it's just a scenario where it's lower spin and so it looks to be longer. I know that's a pretty loaded, intricate question, yeah, I guess.
I guess it is. I think I've heard that before, but at least like when I've done my fittings, I'm always like looking at the number and the launch. Like yeah. I don't really look at ball speed, I guess. I do for sure with the driver, but I guess like when I do irons, I haven't really looked at ball speed per se. So that's an interesting take on it.
Yep.
And then they've got, so I always think of Titleist, I think TaylorMade 770, 790s,
Srixon,
ZX 5 and 7s. Do pretty much all the major manufacturers have at least two versions of an iron where they go like lower lofts and more forgiveness? Is that generally how it's done?
Yeah, I'd say each manufacturer at least has an opportunity to kind of build it out as a combo set. But quite honestly, the manufacturers we're seeing a lot more success with it. It almost feels like their lineup is built to be comboed. The idea that Titleist stuff, the whole T-Series, lofts are a little bit closer together. So it's much easier to blend those specific models. And I know Srixon, with the exception of just slightly longer blade length, little thicker top line,
yeah,
transition there is super easy just between the fives and the sevens too. So
yeah, what do you see in people walk out of the bays with the most right now when you're fitting?
Better players, to be completely honest, it's definitely Srixon irons.
Really? That's what I walked out with.
Yeah. I think still the option that fits masses, fits broad categories of players, Ping from a game improvement standpoint, they're always going to make a really good product within that like G-Series, G440 kind of being the latest and greatest there. But better players, there's rarely a scenario where they don't get to hit a Strixen if they're coming in my bay.
Yeah, so why? What do you attribute that to? Because I can just say, like, for me, when I look down at it, it looks forgiving, but it also kind of looks like a. It looks like a player's, but like I have the forgiveness feel, mm-hmm. and just like the sound off the face is good. And for whatever reason, like you know me, like sometimes I'll dig that heel in a little bit, and like it seems like there's a little heel and toe relief on it. I don't even know if that's true or not, but like it looks like that to me. Like, what are you attributing people walking out with it to? What are the main reasons?
Well, I think it definitely starts with look and feel. An iron that's clean looking in any case is always going to be something that's, I don't know, top of list for players to try, especially within that better players bracket. I think if you looked at a lot of elite level players, there's likely a spot where they're not going to test something unless it passes the eye test or the looks test first. So that's definitely part of it. Being a Japanese forged iron, it's something that no question feels as good as anything that's out there as well. And I think, like you had kind of brought up, it's relatively forgiving compared to the size or shape that it sits within. So
yeah,
from that perspective, get things that are aesthetically and visually pleasing, but still a spot where you can get a little bit of help within that same product too.
And then what are some of the dark horses? Like, I always think of it seems like Mizuno makes a really good iron like mm-hmm. every year. What are some of the ones that people like maybe don't think about that? Like, you get them in a bay and you go, hey, try this. And they're like, what? Like, yeah. why would I try those? And then they might be surprised with kind of the output of it. Cause you know, again, generally speaking, everyone like wants to hit the Titleist. Everyone wants to hit the TaylorMade's, like really good irons. But you know, you can find those like dark horses every now and again. Like, I know the Mizuno, were they the M3s last year, maybe 2 years ago, were just a phenomenal iron for a lot of people. What's something you're putting in people's hands that they maybe never would have thought that they'd play?
To be honest, it kind of follows that same vein. I think, like you brought up, Mizuno is definitely a popular one, maybe not something that gets asked for quite as frequently, but definitely something that players walk out a lot. I think historically that answer would have always been Strixen stuff, in the sense that it's, I know, one players didn't really think of or ask for, but something that they would have left with quite frequently. Now we're seeing that player type come in and ask for it on a little bit more consistent basis. One that I'd speak towards, and again, it's a specific player type, specific category, but even like Zexio products, super lightweight stuff is really nice for those. Zexio? XXIO? Senior players, no clue. Lady players, it's a killer.
Really? Yeah. I've never even... I mean, Cam, you're speaking a different language.
That's not your literally, fit. You have not hit that in my bay.
Yeah. I was going to say, I don't even know what you're talking about. I didn't even know it's a brand.
Yep.
Okay, so it's for seniors.
Ladies, super lightweight stuff, super forgiving by design. Again, maybe not a household name necessarily, but for that specific player type, it's something that definitely performs very, very well.
Wow, kind of sick. Put like an Autoflex shaft.
Certain player types, I don't know. Someone's not too concerned about price. Mira stuff's always cool to throw in the mix as well. Yeah. Since they've got
the Miras cool are heads, cool. But. I tried those QPQs or whatever, and they were just little, or CPQs, or you know which one I'm talking about? It's like, so... What are their standard ones?
They have Cam 700, which is like their blade style.
Yeah, they have like a QPQ or
a CB and a TC as well. Tour cavity and just
now,
a cavity.
See, now I have to find this Mira QPQ or CPQ. Yeah, it's these right here. Yeah, QPQ. Look at this. You ever seen those?
That's the finish. So those are the Cam 700s.
Oh, this is the Cam 700. The QPQ is the black finish. Mm. Okay. I was going to say, I tried those, and the problem with me is they looked square, but they were rounded, if that makes sense. Like, the actual head was kind of like square when you set it down, and the back of it was like rounded on the edges. And
interesting.
It threw my eyes off.
Yep.
So there's a set there. You can look at them. set them down once. And then also, too, I mean, tell you what, when you hit them out of the center, oh my gosh, it's like one of the best feelings ever. Good. But like looking down at the four iron, it's like I'm trying to hit a butter knife. Yep. It's like, I'm not Adam Scott. I'm just not. I wish I was, but I'm not. So along the realm of the iron, so I want to talk shafts a little bit. Like, mm-hmm. I think there's a maybe misconception, or maybe people aren't as educated on the shaft weights and flexes of everything. And they just kind of like, they get handed something and they're playing it, and like either it doesn't feel right or it feels perfect, or this is why so many people grab stuff off the rack and sometimes it's great, sometimes it's not.
Yep.
Can you just kind of walk through, you know, let's like say a person like me compared to maybe a senior to then maybe like a mid handicap level, like what are the first couple things that go through your mind in terms of like weight and shaft and flex?
Yep.
And then like you can really start to dig into things like kick point and like where it's firm and the like, you know, the handle or the mid or the tip. Talk about that a little bit so that as people are starting to think about maybe who they are as a player and what they want to go get fit with, maybe they have a better idea going into it of like, hey, this is what I think would fit me a little bit better.
Yeah. I mean, we can kind of start like, I'd say like your better player, your higher speed player, typically the way that I think about it is I want anything that's height or spin related, or at least as much as possible, to be generated through head style more than shaft. And typically I kind of lean on shaft to be as heavy, as stiff as I can up into a point where a player says it really feels laborsome to swing, or there's a limiting factor in terms of speed or height. But I think stability in those better players' bags is definitely something I'd like to have. Like I said, lean on kind of just loft of the golf club or CG of the golf club to influence height in a positive manner.
Yes. And when you say that, like what, when you're saying as heavy and stiff as possible, like yep. What are two shafts that you go like, this is rebar?
Fast speed players. I mean, Dynamic Gold X100, no question, is your top option.
That's like those, what Scotty plays, right?
Yep, those guys and that
a lot of pros play.
Really quick. KBS Tour X is definitely a popular one within that category. And I don't know, especially someone really likes rigid feel, super stout or stiff feel, something in that Project X category is probably going to be pretty solid as well.
Got it.
Flip side, like I think that archetype kind of changes for, let's say, your slower player, maybe just higher handicap. Let's say slower player. That player is likely going to be in a spot where their goal is distance based. They've lost some distance. They want to hit a little farther. One of the needles we can move there is just playing with an iron that maybe carries a little bit stronger loft, in the sense that it'll kind of push the envelope in terms of ball speed. And in those cases, again, oftentimes we have to lean on shafts that are just a little bit lighter or softer from a profile standpoint and see if it influences height in a positive manner for us.
Yeah, I mean, to get super literal, like from a, you know, let's just say the head is equal. Like someone's just hitting a T200, yep. Right? 10 handicap, you got them in a T200, I don't know, 5 iron. What's like the difference somebody's going to see, let's say, mid-swing player in that Dynamic Gold X100, and then you put them in, I don't know, like a 105 regular? Yep. Like how different of a ball flight is that going to be for that person?
Yep. I'd say it's player dependent, but I think from that perspective, it's very tough to say what we'd expect to see within ball flight. I think a lot of it's going to come back to feel for that particular player. I think shaft manufacturers have done a really good job over the years at marketing and saying that certain shafts are going to do something, saying a shaft is a low launch profile. And I know in reality, there's a human element to this. And yeah. Sometimes we react to all things a little bit differently. But I guess I can't necessarily say that just because a shaft says it's going to launch low on paper that I give it to someone, they're going to hit it significantly lower than something else. It's so, so tough to see.
Yeah. And like me, especially sometimes I'll get a shaft and like, I literally can't hit it.
Yep.
Like, I don't know if it's there's such a crazy like matchup and correlation with a golf club when you think about all the things. And then to your point, like an actual like swing and how somebody like delivers it and their like impact location and dynamic loft and, yep. And all of that stuff. And like now, I have seen, and I don't know if you guys see this in the Bays, but like this trend of, you know, some people are actually playing graphite yep. shafts. And like for a while, it felt like people wouldn't even consider that, like unless you were yep. a senior player. But yep. I've seen a couple of pros, I feel like on tour, or maybe some guys on Champions Tour, like, and those guys still swing it fast yeah. enough. They've got graphite shafts.
I bring that up all the time too. Graphite has come, I don't know, a huge way. It's not necessarily just old man graphite at this point, but you have graphite options, even within like Fujikura Axiom stuff that plays up to 125 grams in terms of weight and really is just as stable, as stiff as you'd kind of find within a steel profile as well. I know there's always that undertone and ego within golf too, or I don't know, as men, we want to play the heavy steel shaft because it's something that we feel like matches up yeah. our speed or strength a little bit better. But again, sometimes there's, I don't know, better performance that can come within some of those other graphite options. And like I said, it's kind of broadened horizons where it's not just that old man graphite anymore, but definitely some options that offer some more stability and can even yeah. carry a little bit more weight too. So,
and I know we're talking, you know, irons, but I do think it's important. I want to get your take on this. I think you've talked about it a couple times. So, you know, generally speaking, you know, most players' bags, let's say they've got, you know, driver, 3-wood, 5-wood or 7-wood, whatever. Then they go like 4 through pitching wedge, and some people play pitching wedge in the set. Some yep. people play like a wedge. And then you've got your, you know, lob, sand wedge, gap wedge. At what point are like you starting to switch the shafts from being like the set shafts yep. into wedge shafts?
Yep.
And, well, one, why? But two, you know, is it solely dependent on like which one of these are full swing and then which one are you trying to like knock down, chip with? Mm-hmm. Like, how do you decide that when you're doing a fitting? Because I think it's actually something a lot of people get wrong. And I think it's something I got wrong for a long time till we started doing a lot more mm-hmm. together. And now I've completely changed my philosophy. So I want to hear yours first.
Yeah. I guess a couple of things that I'd kind of bring up on that side. I think in any case, there's never a spot where a player will be hurt by way of consistency. If we're to keep the same shaft just from the longest iron in the set down through the shortest wedge, a lot of people like having that same feel and constant weight throughout. But sometimes there's kind of a differing ball flight dynamic that's needed within the wedges. And just because they're not clubs that we're swinging as fast as kind of some of the longer clubs within the set, it just warrants something a little bit different. I think like you brought up, oftentimes what club we're going to use as the last full swing wedge to me makes sense is, I don't know, maybe the last option to kind of keep that shaft consistent from the irons on. So if we're looking at a 50 degrees, especially if it's like a set gap wedge, I'm always going to keep that just the same shaft option as you have through the rest of the irons. Kind of the assumption that that player is going to hit that as a full swing club and likely not manipulate the face around the green. I think that's kind of that spot where I start to look at something a little bit different is the player that says, hey, it's not always a full swing club. I like this club from a versatility standpoint around the green. I'll hit different long bunker shots with things like that as well. And I think that's a time where sometimes it's warranted to make that transition on the gap wedge too.
Kind of in that same realm, like I think a lot of people always think about, you know, bounce and grind is like a wedge thing, but the Strixons that I've got now and played for probably half the season last year, definitely towards the end of the season last year. That's why it's bleeding over into this year. It's a long time for me, by the way, as you know. Means they're a really good iron. But they kind of like opened my eyes to the first time of like having what felt like bounce on an iron. One, am I right in that sense? And two, do you see that a lot now with like a lot of the different kind of, you know, iron heads that are out there? Like, I mean, I've got one behind you, like I'm looking at it. It's almost like it seems like there's a little bit of, you know, cause they've got that ridge kind of on the bottom. It's like, there's, it's kind of like some forgiveness on my iron here. Like, this is really nice.
You're spot on. Their VT sole is very much that exact same thing. I don't know, especially for your higher speed player, gets in and out of the turf really quickly. And so I don't know, sometimes it feels like you're maybe getting a little bit more help or protection from digging in certain cases.
Yeah. And like, do you guys talk about that? I mean, is that a thing that you're specifically looking for? And I know it's hard like indoors too, right? Yep. Like you can only do so much when we're fitting indoors, but you know, like I would say more, what would it be? Shallow players want bounce and like steeper players generally like don't.
Kind of right? Flip side.
Is it the flip side?
Yeah. Steeper player, you want a little bit more bounce as bounce is like your protection from digging. Whereas like shallow player, you'd benefit from a slightly narrower sole or a little bit more or a little less bounce.
I was in my like Joe Mayo mind of like, you know, super steep. You don't need the bounce at all. Like when you're chipping and that's like where my mind went to it. See, like I don't even know everything.
But I think even if you were to look at other manufacturers now, you're seeing so many of them that have these different tri-cut soles or beveled edges, trail relief, lead edge relief, stuff like that, just to kind of incorporate that same technology and get an end product to something that gets through the turf a little bit better in an outdoor environment. So
yeah, the other thing I heard and kind of has been talking about a little bit on like tour this year is, you know, everybody hears the word blades. Mm-hmm. And I think Rory's like kind of gone a little back and forth. Do you fit people into mini blades anymore?
Typically, no. If it's a blade player, they're likely asking for it or have always played blades. And so it's something that they find comfort in. But there's rarely a scenario where someone comes into my bay and I'm like, man, this is a blade guy. He needs to have a blade in his hand.
Yeah. So when I want to unpack blades for a second and like talk to people about what they are and what they aren't, because I feel like people hear blades and they just think like, oh, super small, razor thin. It is for somebody that can like draw and fade the ball. And doesn't need forgiveness. And like you hear these PGA Tour players talk who obviously draw and fade the ball, like when they need to get into the whole one shot shape thing, but like they can draw and fade the ball, like if they really needed to, right? Like they know how to move ball position, close and open their faces. But like they always talk about like, I will take the forgiveness if it's there. But obviously they're not playing T200s either. So how are they thinking about this? And how does this bleed into like an amateur of like trying to figure out, okay, you know, where am I in this grand scheme of things between like blades and then something like super massive forgiving? Cause like, I think even a scratch player would tell you like, I'll take forgiveness, but you know, I might want to work it a little bit. Like, you know, how do you come to grips with that? And what do people, you know, need to understand about like blades and non-blades?
Yeah, I think from that perspective, blades have, like you said, always been marketed as maybe something that's a little bit more workable, something that's easier to turn over from right to left, easier on the flip side to kind of fade a little bit towards that right side as well. A lot of that comes from just the fact that they spin a little bit more, which is driven by just more traditional lofts, the fact that those blades in many cases carry more loft on the golf club.
Is that really all it is?
That's a lot of it. The other thing I kind of pick up too is like, if you're to take a blade versus, again, like a T100, a cavity back iron that maybe has a touch more weight that sits low, I'd anticipate that MB or that blade to fly a little lower. So sometimes it's a slightly differing ball flight dynamic there too. But I think for us, like, we're in a spot where we kind of market to a lot of players and say like, hey, there's a player's cavity iron that does offer a little bit more help, a little bit more forgiveness, and still has loft that is weak enough for us to have playable height and spin, but not a spot where you have to be within a blade category just to get those specific numbers.
Hmm. Interesting. What are you seeing at the, call it, top of the bag more recently? Are you fitting, are people just getting the standard four through pitching wedge, or are you starting to see that four iron go away and get replaced with either a hybrid or a seven wood?
Yeah, it's funny, especially better players. So I just had this conversation with Larry Bobka the other day, but he was
shout out Larry.
Yeah, shout out Larry.
Absolute legend.
Bless his heart, he'll be back in the store next week. So looking forward to that.
He doesn't want to be, right? He's in Arizona, right?
No, he's just been coming off back surgery. So.
Oh, that's right. He had surgery. Did it go well?
Yeah.
I need to text him.
I know he can't wait to get back in the store. So
yeah,
he's done enough laundry, enough dishes. So
yeah, he's ready.
Yeah, but him and I were having that conversation. He almost thinks of it a couple of things. You have your 5 through 9 iron, better players. I think likely going to be a lot of guys that kind of play like a Vokey pitching wedge or a standalone pitching wedge from different manufacturers. Is there's more you can do with it, more versatility from differing lies, things like that. Spin tends to be more consistent, especially as conditions get wet and things like that as well. So kind of looking at like irons from a 5 through 9 standpoint, wedge is completely a different entity. And then 4 iron, seeing a lot of players that are either playing just a more forgiving 4 iron or that spot where we'd start to break into a hybrid or higher lofted fairway wood. So
yeah, that the reason I brought it up is because I think Bridgman, his 4 iron's actually the 4 iron spot, it's not a 4 iron. I think he plays the TaylorMade utility iron, and he's had it since like the 2000s, like a really long time.
Yeah, one of those old tour preferred.
Yep. Yeah, and they were saying how like a lot of the guys on tour have that utility iron in that spot, and like, I mean, it makes sense to me, but also in the same time, you know, I just wonder, like, how far do they hit that thing? Like, is it a 240-yard club for them because they hit their 5-iron 220? Like, it's really interesting to me, and I've been trying to figure out that spot in my bag because, like, you know, the 4-iron, it's good for me off the tee, and then, like out of the rough, I can't hit it.
Yeah.
And so, you know, if I'm on a par 5, I'd rather like try to chip my 5 wood than I would try to get a 4 iron out of there. But I don't know if I could hit a utility iron any better.
Yeah.
Am I wrong in thinking that? Or
lies like that, I think a lot of it's just use case. Whereas like my bag, for example, I play Titleist irons. I have T100s from 5 through pitching wedge, and then I have a T200 4 iron. I hit a ton of 4 irons off the tee and don't really play yardages that are too long. So for me, although it's like somewhat lower flying, like a little bit more help, a little more forgiveness, and a long iron that's pretty hot, to me is hugely useful and viable within the set.
What's like the probably biggest mistake you see before you fit somebody like in their bag that you look at this and go, like, they've got this set up, and then you watch them and fit them and you go, I don't even know why that's in their bag.
Honestly, it's 100% long irons. Too many people carrying still 3 and 4 irons or advocating.
People still have 3 irons?
Yeah.
Oh, and, I didn't know they even made those.
Kind of saying like as the first question, I want to have a 3 iron within a new set, and there's so many sets that don't even offer a 3 iron at this point.
Yeah, you can't even get them anymore.
The conversation I have there is like, how often do you use it and where do you use it? And if the player ever says, it's kind of my punch out club, something I'll hit from under trees, it's like, okay, well, let's spend a little more time on the other clubs keeping you out of the trees so you don't need to carry a 3 iron as a punch out club.
Yeah, fair enough. Or like, you should be able to punch it out with a 5 iron. But
I think it's that too many long irons still in players' bags, and again, feeling like the one time when they were 20 years younger, they had the ability to hit that long iron, but maybe it's not the same case anymore.
Well, I got to ask before we wrap up, like, hopefully I'm not speaking out of turn here, but like, you guys as employees get to get like new irons. You get to get a new set every year, right?
From a fitting standpoint, a lot of us have kind of a staff program, which isn't manufacturer specific, but more so brand neutral. So have to pick from different manufacturers and things that. But yeah, our staff program is essentially built out. So on a year-to-year basis, we'll kind of just order a new set and have that to play for the year's time.
So I was going to ask what your, if you I don't know if you've ordered it for the season yet, yeah. but what you decided on for this year. We'll it's always fun to hear what everybody's got going on. Like, yeah. I think I'm gonna get this year. I'm like, man, I'm jealous of you guys. You get to just
Find it fun, but also from the same perspective, I think about it this way. For me, it's hard to pick a second set. Therefore, like the set that I feel is the best fit set for me, something that I find the most confidence with is the one that's already in my bag. Whereas like for me, I kind of get a little curious and sometimes try things that are maybe a touch outside the box just to see what happens.
Yeah.
This year, I'd played some Strix and stuff in the past, but that's what I ordered this year. I did the
fives or something?
I actually did a triple combo set. So I did Z-Forge in the 9-iron and pitching wedge, sevens in the 6-8 or 6-7-8, and then 4 and 5 in the fives.
Wow, that's sick. So you got some blade style in the P and the 9?
Yep.
And then what do you play in your wedges? Just Titleist?
Yep. Yeah, just Fokies right now.
Yeah. Wow, a triple
that's combo. Wild. Yeah,
that's gonna look pretty sweet in the bag.
It's gonna look pretty sweet, and I don't know. Keegan's kind of the same way. He's got a triple combo set as well. I'm not sure if it's 9-iron and wedge or if it's just pitching wedge and that Z Forge as well. But there's a couple guys that play it that way. Morikawa for the longest time had a 3-club combo set as well, where he played blades, CBs, and 770s towards the top end of the bag. So it's definitely been done before.
Now I feel weird for ordering all sevens. I should have taken.
Don't worry, I won't judge you.
Yeah, I should have taken a look and gone for the triple combo, like just to say that I did. Well, this was awesome, man. I appreciate you coming in. I've probably sent a million people your way, but for people that maybe it's their first time listening, how do they book specifically with you? Yep. It's Second Swing. Got to go to Minnetonka and hopefully find a time on the calendar.
Yeah, it's getting busy season, but secondswing.com. We have a fitting icon at the top of the page. It brings up a page right now for broader part of the summer. I'll probably just be set up doing new fittings just based on demand,
better spending time for some of that stuff. New and used.
Yep. So new stuff, you're always going to find more options for me, or actually will find availability for me. There's either a first available or a choose a fitter option. So if you hit that choose a fitter box and just select my name, all my availability and open times would come up. So
yeah, if you can find it. Hard guy to find out. Got to be a couple weeks out, maybe.
Not everyone's like you, where I'm just a text away. So,
well, I appreciate it, man. It's always great to come in and see your smiling face, and then you go, "All right, Jordan, what do we got today?"
I've been
better though.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I have been. Over the last year, I've been a lot better. I'm trying to find consistency within the game, but it is always fun to come in and just like test stuff and see what comes out. Like,
I try my best too, because again, some of those guys, I don't know, that are regulars come in and just want the shiny new thing as well. But it's kind of doing my best to, I don't know, again, make sure performance makes sense first before we justify buying something, I guess.
Yeah.
I know something's just new and shiny to be new and shiny. It doesn't really add a lot of value, but I don't know if there's something that's going to make the game a little bit easier on you. Yeah. I don't know. That's something I'd lean on more.
But it's also fun to try. Like, I think as part of this deal, I get to come in, try some of the other drivers. Like, I legitimately haven't hit a brand new TaylorMade driver in forever. Mm-hmm. I've never even hit one of those Mizuno drivers. And, like, low-key, it sounds like they're pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's always just fun to try new stuff, and it's fun that you guys are super close, and I can just come in and buggy on days too, and I just want to go, you know, maybe try the spider for the week and see what's going on.
It goes both ways. I'm blessed to be in a position where I don't dread going to work every day, and a lot of the conversations and guys I get to talk with are more fun than they are negative. So that's a big win, no question.
That's awesome, man. Appreciate you coming on. Appreciate Second Swing. We'll send more people your way, and good luck as busy season comes around, getting ready for golf season in Minnesota. Probably, you know, maybe 6 weeks away or so till the Masters and till golf.
I hope you're right.
I know.
Thanks for having me. So
thanks, Cam.